Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
We have a concept, I think, unconsciously perhaps, that we in Christ are supposed to become something that we are not. Okay? We're not this, we're not that, but in Christ we're going to become that. And yet the language of Scripture is the exact opposite. God has declared what we are. And so his message is not try to become this thing that I have told you about. It's I have made you this. Now I want you to put that on. I want you to live that out. I want you to become what you are. Do you understand the difference between becoming what we are and trying to become something that we presently are not? I'll tell you, God has done something that's amazing. He doesn't call people to try to measure up and lift themselves up by their bootstraps and try to become something in God. He has done something that only God can do. And so here he's talking to these people and saying, you are Zion, wake up. Don't wake up and become Zion. You see the difference? You are Zion. You are my people. Wake up, wake up. I'll tell you, we live in a society where that's a message that's needed right there. And God help us, because we tend to, without the opposition, without the kind of opposition that exists in many places in the world today, we tend to build ourselves a comfortable representation of what we believe, but it has so many limitations to it. We build a comfortable version of what we believe, and then we get together and we sort of practice it. We do what we think we're supposed to do. And, you know, where we bump into limitations in ourselves and areas of weakness, areas of unbelief, we just say, oh, well, you know, I believe in him and this is just the way it is. And we tend to sort of sit here with all these limitations instead of having faith and saying, wait a minute, God has done something in me. I am all that he says I will ever be. I have the right to stand up on my hind legs, as I've said recently, and say, devil, you are a liar. I refuse to listen to your lies anymore. I am going to become, by God's grace, what he says, what he has made me in Christ. So he calls them Zion. Let's get that through our hearts and into our hearts and through our heads. He did not say, wake up, straighten up, fly right, and then I'll call you Zion. He says, you are Zion. Wake up. Put on clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments. God has already provided all of the garments that you and I need. God has provided everything you and I need in order to become what in order to live out, I guess is what I want to say, what he has told us. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Here's God's people, and they're God's people. But yet there are chains around their neck. How many of you experience this? Let's see if I can express it just right. We hear about how we're supposed to press forward and grow and become more, you know, express more of what we really are. And we get all excited and we get geared up and we move out, and all of a sudden that old limitation jumps up and grabs us, and there it is, and I guess this is as far as we go. Okay, or the devil jumps up and says, see, I told you. You just got all excited. I'll tell you, the devil's been telling me that about this today. You're just going to get up there and get all excited about something, and nothing's going to change. Well, devil, you're a liar. I know there are things in my life that God wants to help me with and to help me to grow, but I know there's things in your life that God has already paid the price. Jesus has paid the price at the cross, has he? Is there anything that he has left undone that's necessary for you and me to stand there in glory one day. Is there anything that he's left undone? And so the question is, how do we get from here to there? Because God has already made me his child. He has already made us his kingdom, his people. And so here his thing is, don't just try to be my people. He says, put them on. I've already given you your garments. Get up out of your slumber and become who you really are. In a practical sense, God wants to lift us up and give us a confidence so we stop listening to those voices that tell us we're not. And we start listening to what his word says that we are. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. God help me. God help me right now to stand here and say these things, because I'll tell you, there's voices trying to whisper in my ear right now. But I believe with all my heart that God is wanting us to rise up and just get beyond just practicing our version of churchianity and Christianity. I thank God for everything he's done. I thank God for his presence. I thank God for the spirit of love and unity that he's brought about. God has done many wonderful things, but God has more for us. And I believe he wants us to rise up and claim that inheritance, because God has done what is needed. And so, again, clothe yourselves with strength. Put on something. There's something that you have that's yours. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. I'll tell you, there's going to be a time when there will not be anybody come in that doesn't belong. I don't mean just physically. In fact, in one sense, I'm sitting there asking the Lord, what is this about? I mean, I know what we used to talk about, the restoration of the church, and I believe in that. But you know, in one sense, this was fulfilled in the new covenant. Because people don't enter this kingdom. People don't become this without being born again. Unless you're born again, you don't even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it. And so God has done something in the Spirit where there are people who hear his voice. They hear the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it builds a heart-level conviction. And people respond one way or the other. There are people who will try to maneuver it around and rearrange it and say, oh, yes, but. And there are other people who will say, yes. And I'll tell you, there is a miracle of God that needs to happen to everyone. But I'll tell you, when it happens, you have become part of something that is eternal, that is real. It's more real than what you can see here. It is a fellowship of people. It is God absolutely coming to live in a people. And I'll give you one other thing that lets me know this passage applies to us. Look at verse 7. Where the prophet says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Who can tell me where that's at in the New Testament? Well, these Bible scholars here. Does that sound like something that Paul wrote one time and quoted? Yeah, Romans chapter 10. He was talking about the message going out, and he quoted this scripture, how beautiful on the mountains. I'll tell you, God put words supernaturally into the mouth and through the pen of the prophet Isaiah, and those words are still unfolding today. They're like missiles that are going out and landing, and they're having an effect right now. I'll tell you, when God says something, it's creative. What did God do? How did God create the world in the beginning? Let there be. There was power in his words to create something that had not been. And I'll tell you, there's a God right now who has inspired words down through the centuries that are creating something that is brand new and something that is eternal. His purpose, not just in the natural creation, but his purpose in the eternal creation, is unfolding right now in our midst here. And I praise God for everyone here that has heard his voice. Have you heard his voice? Have you heard his voice? Has it changed your heart? Is it absolutely taken root in your heart? There's a lot of people who hear it and become religious. But I'll tell you, there's something that happens when somebody is really born again of the Spirit of God. And that's what he's talking about here. I think perhaps I'll go to the beginning of 1 Corinthians for a moment. There's so many things that you could get into here. And for some reason, the Lord didn't want me to organize anything, and it probably sounds that way. But that's all right. 1 Corinthians. How many of you know about this book and all the issues that there were in the church of Corinth? How many of you would like to be the church in Corinth? I mean, they had one issue after another. There was disunity. People were pulling in different factions, in different directions. They were embracing false doctrine. They had immorality in the church. It was just one thing after another. They had questions about everything. Their services were disorderly. I mean, they just went wild with, you know, speaking in tongues, which is a legitimate gift, but it has its, you know, there's an order to it, to its exercise. But I mean, they had a long list of things that Paul had to write to them about to teach them and to help them to become what he wanted them to be and what the Lord wanted them to be. So anyway, he begins his letter, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the names of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." Well, that takes us in, doesn't it? So he's writing to us as well. But notice how he addresses them. "You bunch of heathen people who want to be the church, let me tell you what the real deal is here. You need to straighten up, and then when you get your act together, then we'll call you. Then maybe we'll think about talking about you maybe being a church." No, these were already his people. Yes, they were immature. Yes, they didn't know a lot. Yes, they had a whole lot of growing and changing to do, but God had already made them his own. Everything they needed, and he goes on to talk about that, was there. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus." He didn't thank God because of their performance. He says, "I thank God because of his grace." That's the only thing we got to glory in. Is that God has shown mercy. We haven't got the powers, we said many times, to even think about God or to come to him unless he's at work. God has to overshadow the human heart to even incline us to be interested in him. Oh, I tell you, we need to be singing about his grace. We need to be worshiping God because of his mercy toward us, because we would just simply die in our sins and perish and be gone forever if God didn't intervene. There's not one of us that can look in the mirror and say, "I know why God picked me." I have no clue. God is a merciful, awesome, faithful God.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685 Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.